This is just a quick note before the Team White show starts. In this Team White, the topic of Sam Brinton comes up. He's a sexual degenerate, a freak. Those photos in front of you show Sam Brinton. Brinton got into the Office of Nuclear Energy. He was the Deputy Assistant Secretary there. And if you look at him, he's in these photos. And he's a real sexual weirdo, and he behaves very strangely. And then there's this stuff about playing and pretending to be having sex with dogs. And you'll see his other male pals, who also seem to be a bunch of degenerates, and they pretend this stuff. But I find it hard to believe that they just pretend and play this. And I keep asking myself whether they don't actually really engage in some kind of animal sex behind the scenes when you're not looking. And even just this pretend stuff, look at it very closely. And look at those weird costumes and things. And this whole thing is very creepy. Then in the bottom middle is Sam Brinton with the Jew on the left, the Jew Levine. That is a fat Jew slob of a man who's now actually an admiral but actually pretends to be a female. All these weirdos, creeps, and degenerates have high-ranking positions in the U.S. government. There's clearly a lot of creepy, weird Jew crap going on here. And rest assured, there's more to this than meets the eye. When there's all this weird behavior, there's always another reason, another more devious, dirty reason for doing these things. This is like the pedophilia that is so common in the British Parliament and British government and high levels in British society. There's a clear Jewish corruption, sexual deviant component. And all this weird pedophilia and creepy weird sex, this has got another purpose. And it may even tie back to things like snuff videos, the killing of children and filming it, the hunting down and killing of white children in Europe, taking white kids and putting them in dungeons and torturing them to death or torturing them and having sex with them. This Sam Brinton was recently fired, and in the bottom right of this picture, this is a headline. It says, "Police issued an arrest warrant for nuclear energy official Sam Brinton after an officer recognized them from news articles about a separate stolen luggage accusation." Sam Brinton was stealing women's luggage at airports. These creeps and weirdos have got other things going. If you look on the bottom left, you'll see Sam Brinton in a dress and sitting on a couch. And it turns out that this photo was taken at Playboy Playhouse in 2019. Now, Playboy magazine and all that Playboy stuff, that was done by Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner was grabbing white girls and then putting them in Playboy, and getting them nude and all that, but he was also sleeping with them, etc. There was a bunch of stuff he was doing, and this was before the Jew Epstein, who had his creepy sex island where Donald Trump, Bill Gates, and a whole lot of other people, including the Jewish professor slash attorney Alan Dershowitz, went to. And there are lots of people, including people from the British royal family, who went to that weird island of the Jew billionaire pedophile Epstein. And it looks like they were maybe taping people, recording people for the Israeli Mossad. There's a bunch of stuff. There had to be tons and tons of dirty, dirty things going on behind the scenes. These Jews were using sex and playing at sex and corrupting people, and you have no idea all the things they could have gotten up to. And all that stuff that went on with that Jew Epstein, he's now dead apparently. But Ghislaine Maxwell, she got a jail sentence. However, she was supposed to bring out lots and lots of data, which never came out. But I have heard that there's a girl who's actually originally a South African girl, and she has got some dirt and some tapes which she says she's saved away in secret places in Europe, and that this stuff is film footage that comes from Epstein's island. So this white South African girl might make some attempt to get some of that dirt out. But this stuff is clearly just the bare tip of the iceberg. It's not even 1% of the stuff that went on there. Everybody was there. All the rich were there. Trump was there. Gates was there. Alan Dershowitz, the law professor, continuously denies that he was there, but he was there, and there are women who claimed that he raped them, etc. There's a ton of dirty, dirty, a mountain of stuff that's hidden away. And every time you look into all this dirty, weird, creepy, satanic, degenerate, sexual weirdness, whether it's in America, whether it's in Britain, whether it's in Europe, it always leads back to Jews. Jews are always the prime movers in all kinds of weird, creepy, sexual, degenerate crap. And what is really freaky is how this stuff is even getting into high levels of government. These people clearly have high-level security clearances. There's all kinds of nonsense they must be getting up to. They should not even be allowed in government. And then you get this weirdo Jew sexual creep who pretends to be a woman, who's now an admiral, and he must have access to lots of top secret stuff. And who are these people, and how the hell did they get there? I want to tell you, there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and it's amazing that these people are not removed from these positions of power. It is so dangerous. And Britain and the British government and parliament and stuff, that's just one sexual, weirdo, Jew, Rothschild, pedophilia setup, that thing. There must be so much weirdness. And I want to tell you that we are only seeing 1/10,000th or 100,000th of what is actually going on. We're just seeing tiny, tiny little pieces of what may be really going on. And the vast majority of it will never see the light of day. We've seen with that Jew billionaire pedophile Epstein that very little came out. The worst that came out was this Ghislaine Maxwell, who was his girlfriend, who was also recruiting women, and I'm sure that she knew tons more, and none of it has come out. She's doing some jail time, but I think that the main things have all been missed. We're missing the real stuff. More than a decade ago in America, a whole bunch of Jewish rabbis were also arrested, also for weird sexual stuff. But we're only seeing the tiny, tiny, itsy bitsy tip of the iceberg. But anyway, this is Sam Brinton, and he is mentioned in this Team White show that we did.
Hello, and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder. I'm here in Northeast Missouri, and with me today are Jan, as always, in South Africa, and we're delighted to have both Schaefers. We have Alfred in, I believe, in Germany, and we have Monica. I'm not exactly sure where she is. I think she might also be in North America. But Monica, how are you doing?
Thanks so much for inviting me back on your show, Alex Linder.
Oh, yeah. We're excited to have you. We want to hear what you have to say. We were going to talk about...
Yeah, before I go into
further... Can you tell people where you are or not?
Yes, I'm in British Columbia, Canada. So that's okay. The westernmost province of Canada. And yeah, that's where I am now. But you know, I'm going to, because this was literally on about 3 seconds notice, I didn't get my earbuds, and I'll mute myself and go get those, because I don't know if you have feedback problems with the sound right now, with me just being without any earbuds and stuff like that.
Fine on my end.
It's actually fine.
Yeah, it sounds okay. Perfectly clear.
Then I'll just leave it the way it is. And then whenever I'm not talking, I'll mute anyway to you know, stifle background noises.
Okay, well, why don't you give the people, we all have some stuff we're going to talk about from our different areas. And this is very spur on the cuff for you. But what sort of things are going on in Western Canada or Canada generally these days that you think might be worth talking about?
Well, one thing that came across my desk just yesterday, I think, maybe the day before, but I've known about it for quite some time, this UNDRIP, that's the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And I know that this has been going on for several years now, where they're really pushing this hard. And now recently in Vancouver, I guess there was something that they're saying, wow, they've basically got Vancouver now. But okay, so what does that actually mean? What there's a Bill C-15 in Canada, which talks about, you know, putting this into place, this UNDRIP Declaration on the Rights of the Indigenous Peoples. It's extremely vague. Indigenous peoples from where? We don't, like, it's not even defined what is Indigenous people. Basically, it's the takeover of our lands. And they've been working on this for quite some time. And British Columbia, the province I'm in now, has really been kind of a testing ground for various communist proposals and land grab proposals for quite some time. And, you know, meetings of any official capacity for years already, they've started any meeting with, oh, we would like to acknowledge that we are on the unceded territory of the XYZ indigenous tribe that I can't pronounce the names, whatever. And I mean no disrespect to the native people, but what we definitely are witnessing is this is part and parcel of we are being replaced. The white people are being replaced and we don't belong here and we should just go back to wherever we came from. But, you know, as we all know that's not even now, we don't have a place to go back to. And we've been here for hundreds of years. I mean, I'm talking in general. And then even further than that, we now have evidence that we, the Aryan people, were actually here first. There's more and more archaeological evidence that points to that. So even this argument about, oh, you know, we're on stolen land. No, we're not. So I'll just leave it at that for now and gather my thoughts for the next time I comment and let the others comment.
Yeah, and then slightly south of you down in California, they put up some committee talking about reparations for blacks. And now the latest, I'm looking at Daily News. We're not asking, we're telling you, business owner demands black people receive $350,000 each in reparations since we work for free during slavery. There was no slavery in California. There were never that many blacks there. and now most of them are priced out anyway. It's just completely disintegrating in the USA.
Alex, what model are they following, I wonder, eh? There's some other model of people who are always getting money and reparations for...
I always envision them as a corpse that's being fed on. Like I've used this before, but you know, we used to catch bass and then you throw out the remains on like the mulch pile in the garden, and then go back a couple days later and look at all the beetles and the weird zoological collection of insects feeding on them. That's what increasingly these white countries resemble. I mean, you jet over to Europe and you've got these millions and millions of Moroccans and other Africans who are rioting in the street, whether their team wins or loses in the World Cup. And, you know, yesterday there's some gang rape. I don't know if the victim in Germany, the guy who was part of a gang rape, was let out after, I don't know, literally weeks. Maybe the girl was part Turkish or something. I don't know if she was a true German, but this goes on all the time, and whites are essentially being eaten alive and they have no representation. They have no head, and that's a little what the notion of a team white is meant to include for you listening. You don't have anyone representing. And when I say your interest, interest is such a cheap word. It's been abused by the family courts in the best interest of the child, which is always a pretext for doing whatever the judge wants. Your interest in staying alive and not being eaten by other races who blame you for all their failures and credit you for none of the let's just say support infrastructure that even makes their literal existence possible. Remember, the population of Africa before whites ever showed up was maybe 100 million, and it soared upward because of Norman Borlaug and other science that white people created that allowed them to feed themselves. And now they turn and run, and since the Jews control all of our countries, we treated them as individuals, they let them into our countries, they're now destroying them. And, you know, I mean, I can talk about what's going on in the USA right now. They're about to roll back some minor control Trump had, Title 42 or something. There's literally thousands of people coming in every day at one spot down in Texas, and they think when this Title 42 is rolled back, there's going to be 14,000 a day coming through. So they're completely failing to control the borders. At the same time, over in Arizona, they've, in desperation, trying to vote the right people into office. Okay, they were cheated out of the person they voted for in the same model as they cheated Trump out of the last election, but they're sticking up like boxcars on the border, and the feds have sued them for trying to protect their own border. So in desperation, some of the same white people left who might be a governor here or there who are trying to protect their people are completely at war with the federal government, which is run by Jews. And it's overall, we have such incredible perversion everywhere you look as well. The sexual perversion, the financial corruption we've had in the last week. I was let back on Twitter after being blocked for a week. Now, Elon Musk has taken over Twitter and they're all talking about free speech, but it's not really free speech. It's basically about the same parameters as Gab. In fact, probably more restricted. You're not really any collective negative assessment you make of Jews is regarded as violence. So this idiot Musk has the same basic understanding of violence as the communists do. And he doesn't even like the communists because they took one of his kids and are trying to transsexualize it. So he's very anti-Marxist. Some of his private tweets came out in that sense. But yet at the same time, he uses violence exactly the same the way the left does, to include essentially all factual criticism. No, you're being violent. No, I'm just using violence refers to behavior. But anyway, and the perversity we've seen revealed on Twitter, these guy comes out, guy who's head of the, I think, Department of Energy or the Army, the disposition of nuclear waste, is this complete freak. I don't know if he's a transgender, but he at least dresses as a woman. He's completely made up as a woman. This freak has been stealing women's luggage. He did it twice. It's been in the news. Finally, he got fired. Another Army guy literally dresses like a dog and has sex with another man in the Army, one of his underlings, who also dresses like a dog. This shit is – and also, people don't realize these people flock to government. Okay, all these – I could even give you two examples from when I was in D.C. in the early 90s of how far back this goes. They know that the freaks network can get into government because there's less work for them to do, and they can spend all their time being perverts, and they can't really be fired for it. It's very, very difficult. And so there's massive numbers of pedophiles. I mean, I'm not even talking about the public schools where the teachers are going after the kids. And I'm talking about women, too, even as much or more than men going after the young students. But the defense, they did some study where they were trying to track down, like, pedophiles exchanging photos and stuff, and they found huge amounts in the American military and DOD, and that's because they freaking attract weirdos, and there's not any real hard work. And what have I said in almost every Team White we've had? Six or seven of the richest counties in the USA are all around Washington, D.C. They suck the money out of the rest of the country so that they can live high off the hog, and these people are literal, very often, they are sexual perverts. They hate normality. They're telling teachers in public schools they can go behind the kids' back, behind the parents' back, and just have these sex change operations or start
Alex,
on the pills that lead to those. It's absolute insanity. Yeah,
go
ahead.
Add something to what you're saying. I don't want to interrupt, but I just to add something because
you got to interrupt or I'll talk forever.
I just want to say with regards to these perverts who are in high office, it's not just that they're attracted to it. No, it's those are the people who get pushed into power are the people who have, you know, they're sure. Perverted or they have perversion, whatever. They're already seriously compromised. Those are the ones that are pushed into those positions because then they become perfect puppets.
Yeah, and that brings in, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, right?
Yeah.
These people going down to his island dozens of times and Epstein's having sex in front of them on his plane. And, oh, yeah, no, they're Mossad agents. He and that Jelaine or however her name is pronounced are Mossad agents. And that's why they finally did come up with some list of apparently all the people who went on visits to the island. But, you don't need to see the list to know what's going on with these people.
Alex, right at the beginning,
they're being perverts. They're trying to poison us with this and get rid of the excess population that they deem at about 7.5 billion out of 8. And Alfred, I know you, that's your area of following, this the vein rat poison for the veins, VCon.
You know, see, Alex, right at the beginning, you said something very important about the feeding frenzy. You know, you're talking about when you leave something out there and you watch the Beatles and everything.
An analogy or a metaphor for how I think of what's going on in white countries. They're being
eaten
alive.
That's exactly what it is. We have been set up in a feeding frenzy. The Jews had been gloating since the end of World War II, if not already earlier, that the destiny of the white race lies in their hands because they could see how easily they could infiltrate our countries, get our positive characteristics of high trust and all this empathy and so forth. They could manipulate that with lies and deceit and treachery, and they could see how we could get each other killing each other as they are making money. I mean, you know, Rabbi Reichhorn's a quote from 1859 or whatever it is, we have already killed over 100 million of these goy, and he's talking about white people, and we see no end in sight. We kill them, we massacre them, we get control of their gold, we make more room for our people. That is what is driving all of this. And everything you see and all these people that are in government, you will not get an honorable person who will occupy a higher up position, because only, as Monica was saying, people who can be their puppets, who are completely controllable, who have weak character, will get those positions, because that is part of the turning us into compost. I mean, I think it was Henry Kissinger who said, with the vaccines, we can turn these goyim into compost much faster than without the vaccines, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so this is the process of decomposition. Like we are being destroyed, and no help is going to come.
Is part of that. I mean, we're
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They've already killed. I've been listening to a lot of if you listening to this who are part of Team White. If you want to understand what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, listen to Scott Ritter and even more guy Douglas McGregor, who are – they're semi-mainstream, but they tell the truth about what's going on in the actual war. And I know for a fact McGregor understands the Jew part. He will only go so far as talking about neocons, and his main thing is the actual techniques of the battles and stuff. But according to them, they've already killed probably at least 100,000. They've admitted to that bitch who runs the EU has admitted to that. But he's saying maybe a 250,000 or a 500,000 casualties or damaged, as well as 100,000 killed. These are good, strong men who were just absolutely wasted. And they claim the Russians are ultimately going to win. But this is ultimately, this whole thing is not run by Zelensky. It's run by the Jews in America through Zelensky as their puppet. And they're basically have used up all the Ukrainian soldiers, and now they're moving on to Poles and Romanians and contractors. And their whole thing is to spread this culture of perversion and financial corruption, which Ukraine is already notorious for, laundering the money for these people. And whites simply have to stop fighting for them. I mean, how are you going to reach white Ukrainians? It's too late. But the only people who are fighting back are the Soviets, and not like they're completely, or the Russian, not like they're completely pro-white, but they're not willing to let the perversion of their kids go on the way the Jews would like. So at least they're fighting back, and that's kind of a good sign. But they've recently, I don't know, since we talked last, they arrested Sam Bankman-Fried, who's the leader of FTX, which is a big, huge, giant Ponzi scheme operating in crypto, and we'll see what they actually end up doing to him. But the point is, he was the biggest donor to like the Democrats the last election cycle, and all of his donations are public to the Democrats. But he also said that he did all his donations to the Republicans were there too. They were just on the dark web because the journalists are so leftist. They would complain if they knew he was given. But basically, this Jew is giving. Stolen money that's stolen from his customers' accounts, he's giving it to all these politicians. So, you know, this is how your politics is corrupted by money, and you're voting for someone. To be able to run, you need a whole bunch of money, and the money is coming from Jews, and the Jews are thieves or criminals, or they're with the Fed and they printed the money themselves, whereas you have to earn it. So we're getting screwed all possible ways and lied about in all possible ways, and it's a very, very difficult time. But
yeah,
go ahead, Alfred.
Okay, I was going to say that the Jewish way of gaining control, and there's a quotation that I read from some Chinese warlord 2,500 years ago, gave instructions on how to deal with your enemy, and it is exactly that what Judaism is today, how they infiltrate and how they destroy all of our values, whether we call it religion, whether we call it a culture, whether we call it fine art, fine music, whatever it is that is holy to us, that is dear to us, they degenerate it and destroy it, because that makes the money, which is we need to as a placeholder for our actual value that we produce, and we need money in any in all of our civilized world, and they have learned ever since we have a thing called money, that if they get control of that, they can live as parasites. But this can only go so far, because in the end, with hyperinflation, even the money will lose all its value, and then we have total, absolute, systemic collapse. And that is where we are heading now. We are on the turbo trajectory to total systemic collapse. And when this happens, and it's happening now, we're witnessing it now. We have got a very small window of opportunity to reorganize ourselves in some fashion that will enable us to survive. Otherwise, the death count will be so much higher. If we have absolute, total chaos, no more power, no more food, hordes of just plundering barbarians, then, of course, our death toll would be much, much higher than if we are able to stop this decline before we have total blackouts and total chaos, and reverse the processes we see that are killing us, and bring the culprits to justice in some kind of a civilized legal justice system, which means there's going to be a lot of people hanging from the lamppost and so forth. But it's always been like that. The most you cannot inject people with rat poison, millions of them, and think that you can then say, oh, we need to forgive and forget, while we are prosecuting like crazy for anybody speaking the truth. You see, so this is it. And all the listeners have to understand that no one's going to come from somewhere else and say, here, do this and do that, and we'll get this done. Everyone has to use their common sense, their instincts, understand what's going on, and realize that the life that you have had until now is over. We are in a fundamental paradigm shift or change right now that is of a magnitude that this earth has never, ever seen before. And there's a lot of our ancestors who would have done anything to be able to live now and experience this as an active participant in trying to fix it. So sitting on the sidelines, not doing anything, is not an option. In fact, we're at a point now where sitting on the sidelines and pretending not to understand and just being stupid is actually is treasonous at this point. You know, when we see what's going on, it's like walking past a house that's burning and you got a bunch of kids in the house. If you do nothing and walk away because you don't want to burn your fingers, then you will be held to account by those people who saw you walking away from the burning house when you should have done something. That's the situation we have right now with our civilization.
Yeah, at least as on Twitter, they've let in some of the main doctors who have been speaking against this travesty of these fake vaccines. I'm talking about Malone and who's the other one? There's another. Lou Rockwell does a really good job. Mercola prints most of the relevant information. It's funny how these fake vaccines have really turned. The best journalists are now these doctors who actually know what's going on because they have such a higher technical understanding to start with, and they can communicate to you how, if you want the techniques of how you're being screwed, I recommend going to Mercola's site or see him at lourockwell.com. I reprint most of what he puts there. He was one of the main ones censored. Malone's another guy, and McCulloch, I think, is another one. But they've been somewhat let back on Twitter, so you can also follow them there. But yeah, that insanity continues to go. They're hyping flu shots or double-barreled shots for flu and vaccine. And it continues to be disgusting. Jan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Been listening with great interest.
All right, we need a turn. This is too horrible. The world is dying and burning. We need some good news from South Africa, where I hear it's a beautiful. You're just entering summer, and it's 90% white, and you got the colors under control with your apartheid. And,
I wish.
I hadn't heard much lately, but is that about right?
I wish. I must tell you. You guys don't know how much you're going to miss your own people when you see so few of them. You have no idea what the feeling is like. And when I go to somewhere, even like going to the dentist or somewhere where most everyone is white, it's so nice and so pleasant to be around whites, and we have some good chats. And those of you who've got too many white faces around you, you're gonna miss it as you see less and less of those faces. And all those other faces, later on when you get to know them, you'll know what garbage you're dealing with. But yeah, let me give you some quick news from South Africa. Some white man news. Janusz Walus, I don't know if any of you know, but there was a Polish guy who was in South Africa in the 1980s, 1990s, and he came from Poland, and he got involved with the right wing. I didn't know about him at the time, but he was involved with some guys in the right wing, and at a point, Janusz Walus did probably the greatest thing that any white has done in the time of apartheid, and that is he went and blew away a black guy called Chris Hani. Chris Hani was the leader of the South African Communist Party. In fact, I think Chris Hani was the first non-Jew to actually run the South African Communist Party. Because prior to that, the Communist Party was run by Jews. It was run by Bunting. Bunting ran it for decades. Then Joe Slovo, the Lithuanian Jew born in South Africa, he ran it for a very long time. And I think Hani was the first black to take over the South African Communist Party. Anyway, Janusz Walus blew away Chris Hani. And Hani at that time was the second most popular black in South Africa. People said that this is the closest that we came to racial civil war. But Janusz Wallis blew this black away, shot him, I think he shot him in the guy's driveway or something. And the blacks are very, very angry about this. But Wallis was arrested quite quickly. And when he was arrested, there were white guys, and this is a problem that whites always engage in. And whites in South Africa are especially guilty of this, and all whites need to be aware of this. Wallis was arrested by some... First of all, Wallis would not have been caught if it wasn't for a white woman who spotted his vehicle and reported it to the police. Then when he was arrested, he was with white cops. Then these white cops went and pretended to be right-wingers. And then Wallis opened up and he blurted everything out to them. As a result of that, they then went to arrest another guy. I forget the other guy's name. It'll probably come back to me shortly. But there's another guy, a very important guy, a white, English-speaking South African, very wonderful man, who was, he very much believed in unity between the white English and the Afrikaners. And this Englishman is the guy who actually gave him the gun. So then they went and they grabbed this Englishman and they arrested this Englishman and Wallis. And those guys have spent a long time in jail. The Englishman died in jail. Ah, his name has come to me. Clive Darby Lewis. Clive Darby Lewis stayed in jail so long that he died in jail a couple of years ago from cancer. Wallis looked well after his health. Wallis is, I think, 69 or something, but he's in great physical shape. Wallis was in jail, I think, now for 28 years. And every time that Clive Darby Lewis and Janusz Wallis wanted to get out of jail, the blacks blocked it. The blacks are so angry at those two men. And the blacks had gotten rid of the death penalty. But I'm sure that they are very unhappy that they got rid of the death penalty, because if there are two white men they really, really, really want to kill, it's Wallis and Clive Darby Lewis. But Wallis has been in jail. I think he spent 3 years longer in jail than his sentence. The blacks were still trying to keep him in jail even long after he served his time. Anyway, there was a twist in the South African constitution somehow, but someone in the constitutional court actually said that Wallis must be released. And a couple of weeks ago, they were going to release him. And the next thing you know is a black guy in prison all of a sudden attacks Wallis and tries to kill him. He tries to stab him to death. He manages to stab him in his stomach and he had to be rushed to hospital. And even then, there were protests in South Africa. The blacks were trying their utmost to not let this Polish guy out. But anyway, I think he was let out of jail last week. He's on parole. I think he's going to be on parole in South Africa for 2 years. And they have already got rid of his South African citizenship. So if he survives parole for 2 years, then he'll have to go back to Poland. So thank God he's out of jail finally. But they really were doing their utmost to try and kill him. And I saw that the Sowetan newspaper, which is generally quite a good newspaper, they actually said that the black who stabbed him was a black who was from MK, which is Umkhonto we Sizwe. That is basically the army of the ruling party. Umkhonto we Sizwe was started by Jews and Mandela. Mandela and the Jews started Umkhonto we Sizwe. So the Sowetan says that the guy who stabbed him is, quotes, a soldier. So there's a whole bunch of funny stuff going on. I think the blacks were trying their utmost to kill Wallis, but he's going to be out. I myself, when I wrote my book, Government by Deception, I made a mistake about Wallis. I actually was suspicious of Wallis because he came from Poland and because Poland had communists in it. So I thought that maybe Walloos is working for some kind of other enemy. And I was actually wrong. In the end, it turns out that Walloos was actually very much a stand-up guy, a true hero. He's a real racialist. He's actually a freaking awesome guy. So a Polish guy blew away and carried out the greatest assassination of a black that we ever had from someone. And from what I heard later from people who knew him was that Walloos was... He said that it was really just an opportunistic thing. He said that he saw Chris Harney and Harney didn't have bodyguards with him. And it's true, Harney had let his bodyguards go that weekend. And I think he had some volunteer bodyguards or something. But when Walloos saw this, Walloos said it was like just too good to be true. And he had to put him down. And he blew him away right there and then. He fired a couple of shots into him and Harney was gone. And the blacks to this day, right now, they were having protests. They want, if there's a white man they wanted to kill, it was Yanis Walloos. But it looks like Walloos has made it out. And just another guy that I must tell you about is Harry Knussen. Harry Knussen is the guy who ran a group called the Crusaders. He's actually ex-military, and he ran the Crusaders, and the Crusaders was a sort of Christian type of army type thing, also like an informal thing, like the Buddha Legion and all these other groups. But Harry Knussen ran this thing, and when I was chatting to people a couple of years ago, people said to me that Knussen has got a good following, including some, let's call it military special forces, and that if anyone's going to do anything, it's going to be Harry Knussen. But anyway, in December of 2019, Harry Knussen was on the phones, and Harry Knussen started putting out videos while he was in a uniform, and he basically told whites that the time has come to attack the blacks. And I even had a bit of contact with him, and I actually sent him a message, and I said to him, I have got a show. Why doesn't he come with me, come, and I'll interview him, and we'll put it out on the internet, because there are things he's talking about, he's unhappy, etc., you know. And he kind of replied to me, but kind of ignored me, and I let it go. And there were other people... there were other people who were advising their groups to actually go to the police and lay charges against Harry Knussen for treason. And that is an example of where a white is trying to work with the system. But the good news is that in this case, the vast majority of whites were so angry at this other guy who told them to go and lay charges against Harry Knussen. To my knowledge, nobody laid charges against Harry Knussen, and the guy who told people to do it, he lost a lot of respect, and people left his group. People were very angry with him. So it was actually wonderful to see whites sticking together for each other back then with Knussen. But even so, at the end of the day, there were some spies, and this thing did start moving along, and Harry Knussen and a bunch of his people were arrested. Most of his group actually totally disappeared. They were so quick to get off the internet, off the phones, off everything, that there were hundreds of people, and they just quietly disappeared and were gone. The cops arrested a couple of them. Some of them turned state witness. But anyway, at the end of the day, Harry Knussen and about three guys ended up getting jail sentences. Knussen finally, it was a long time after the hearing that they came out with the actual sentence. And you know what? I think Harry is about 65, or he's in his 60s, and they gave him two life sentences just recently. So poor old Harry Knussen will probably die in jail. That's what lies ahead for him. But so much for the Crusaders was a big flop.
I want to tell you something about the injustice system in Germany at this time. I just saw a video just recently of this guy in near Stuttgart who his son was murdered by one of these Syrian invaders. And the Syrian invader got 2 years on probation. So he doesn't even have to go behind bars. And this guy who made that video says, this is for my friend whose son was murdered. And then his friend, he went to the Supreme Court to lay protest against this light sentence against this invader. And then this guy who was not satisfied, the father of the murdered young man, was visited by the police where he works and said he has now become a threat to our peace, sort of thing, so that he is stepping out of line by protesting about the lenient sentence against the murderer of his son. Now, I just spent 4 years in prison for making videos telling the people what a pile of shit that Holocaust is, this hollow hoax, this Hollywood crap stuff there. I spent 4 years for that. I'm on parole now for 5 years for, you know, I'm supposed to see a parole officer every day. But when an invader can murder someone here, they get out on 2 years on probation, no sentence. And if you protest, then you will be visited by the constitutional police telling you that you are a threat to the peace here. You know, so this is the injustice that we're experiencing. And when you see how they are, how our enemies are, this is empowering them, emboldening them. This is that we have to understand what is actually happening here. We are just seeing the symptoms of our own genocide. And if we truly were too stupid to put this two and two together and figure out what to do, then we deserve to become extinct. But I don't believe that that's the case, because I'm seeing people articulating exactly what's happening now so clearly, so simply, that everyone can understand that. Plus, we're getting more and more people from the system itself who are signaling, that's the messages I'm getting, that they expect us to win, and they are becoming frustrated that our people are waking up so slowly. So I also look at my own requirement to see my parole officer every month, and the police every month, and this other place to, you know, exit from the extreme right and so forth. These are my go-to people in the system, where I can engage them in language they understand, making it very clear that they understand what is actually happening here, and also what the cost is, what the price to pay is for treason, and that even their own superiors are all coming over to our side now. Everybody in this matrix, no matter what their position was before, is waking up, is coming around. There are some individuals who knew who could understand what was going on a long time ago. You know, good for them. And most of them got punished severely for it. But now we are seeing people from all walks of life coming around to understanding what has happened to us in the history, where we've come from, and what the agenda is. And that is the reality of the world we live in today. And the reality, the natural state that we are moving towards, is a national socialist system, much as the Third Reich was. Adolf Hitler was the – nobody understood that better than he did. And that's where we're going to. And that is why the Jews, which are the disease basically, are vilifying anything that is part of that natural national socialist system. They vilify it as if it's the worst thing in the world, because it is what takes away the Jews' parasitic powers and gives us our strength.
Hey, Alfred, if that's I awesome. Might jump in, that story that you yes. told about the lenient sentence for the invader for murder, and comparing that with your 4 years for words. But that, yeah. that lenient, them coming to the father of the boy or the man who was murdered, just because he is objecting to this lenient sentence, and then them visiting him and telling him he's the problem and he's the threat. You see, I see that also as a sign of what total panic our opponents are in. For them to be going to these extreme absurd measures. I mean, this is their panic. They know that they've lost control of the narrative. They have absolutely lost control of the narrative. And I see that as a really, really positive sign. I mean, this is such an absurd story you told, but it is, I mean, paradoxically, it's a positive sign for us. And I hear that over and over from other people too, that they have lost control of the narrative. So of course they're pulling out all the stops, and these pulling out all the stops measures are so insane that this is even rattling awake some, not all. We have some in our own family, sorry to say, but rattling awake many of the people who were formerly sleepwalking to the cliff, right?
Yes, Monica, well, let me add to that. You see, in a case like the one I just gave you there, that the story, their panic response, as you're saying, it's a panic response. That story about the panic response is more valuable to us than the story of the actual crime. It's a huge tragedy that this man lost his son through the, you know, this invader. But the story of how they are reacting, that story exposes them and makes it clear to anybody how the panic that they're in. And if people now still don't understand, now is the time to stand up on your feet. You have nothing more to fear. Just stand up for the truth. Stand up for our rights. Then they will, these people that still don't stand up, they will be hating themselves for the rest of their lives for having missed out on this narrow window of opportunity to still sort of get your foot in the door before it slams shut. Because there's a point when that door slams shut, and anybody who cannot talk about anything that they did at all for our cause, they will be at the very, very low end, bottom end, and nobody will want to have any dealings with that person. They might think they're living, a comfortable life of fun with my toys and so forth, but they are completely worthless. They will have the value in our society as we will rebuild it afterwards, the same as someone who has just raped a three-year-old girl or something on the stage. They are dead, basically. Nobody wants to be seen anywhere near those people. So like you said yourself, Monica, even in our family, we have people like that. I feel sorry for them. They either come around or they are gone. We don't need to see them ever again, because there are so many other people who are all coming out now, all coming around, and we don't need to waste our time with those people who were too stupid to understand it at this point in time.
Yeah, I'll just say, we've spent a lot of time, you and I have, Alfred, to try to figure this out, like the whole psychological aspect of why so many people are just not able to see through the lies. And I, in a just a kind of a nutshell way, I would say that our best qualities have become our biggest liabilities in this battle, as our enemy is not one that comes with, you know, showing their flag and their colors at the gate, so to speak, like what Cicero said. You know, we have the enemy within who dresses like us and speaks in our accents and pretends to be part of us, and it does it all by deception. I mean, that's what the Jews do, is by deception thou shalt make war. And it then all our best qualities, which are this high empathy, high trust, all these good qualities that work so beautifully for a homogeneous society, those qualities become our biggest liabilities, because that high trust, I mean, that means we're gullible too, right? And so we get pulled in and sucked in, and I just wanted to make that comment. And I'm not going to be able to say.
Yeah, it cuts two ways. Comparatively, it does endanger us among others, but among ourselves, it's a strength. So it's not.
Exactly, Alex. That's exactly I was trying to say.
People want to blame whites, but it's like, okay, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, you want to get rid of something that's actually good about us, but in other, it's not absolute good or bad. That's what people get confused about. It's just races are different. They're comparatively different, and we're taught that everyone's the same. And I ultimately, to me, why I spend so much time fighting Christianity is that was smuggled in, and that's where this basis in universal equality and racelessness comes from among whites. Jews don't believe it themselves for a second. Their belief is exactly the opposite. It's taken from nature.
Oh, Jim, yeah, they are the ultimate supremacists.
Nature.
They are the supremacists, aren't they? I mean, they are the they always want to accuse us of white supremacy, even if we just want to live. We just want to survive and not be butchered, and they call us white supremacists. Well, hey, wait a minute. They are the ultimate supremacists of any people on the face of this earth. That is the Jewish, their tribe.
You know, they can believe what they want about themselves, but you know, when they act the way they do, and you never really know what someone believes, but you know how they behave, and they've always behaved hostily and alien to our people since they've been among us, and that long predates any claims about Jesus, which belies the Catholic position that Jews are defined by the rejection of Jesus. They acted the same way back in Rome before Jesus. It's a racial trait.
Also, you know, Monica, their alleged supremacy is actually just part of their operating system, but they know deep down that this is just a falsehood that enables them to live as parasites. And I know that a good friend of mine, he's a German industrialist in the U.S., once said he had a Jewish, well, I call him a friend, I guess. He said that Jew told him, you know, you're a German and all this. And you know, then the Jew actually admitted he would rather be a German than a Jew, even though the Jews claim to be the God's chosen, because they know they are not God's chosen. They know they are their God is the devil, if you want to call it that, and it's all a ruse. So even deep down, the Jews they're
shabby criminals.
Savvy criminals.
Look at the best, most incisive words, or at least equal to any others ever uttered about Jews, were by Bobby Fischer, who was or wasn't a Jew himself racially. It was never quite clear to me.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
You know, he just cut through all the garbage and go look up what he said about it. They're just nasty bunch of dirty little criminals. And I even put it this week. This is a tad pretentious and wordy, but the flagitious, which means extremely evil, as numinous, which means holy, just a couple of higher end adjectives. But no, they're just a bunch of shabby criminals. And I maintain that even to certainly there, you could say they're satanic and all that, but that just gets into it. Still, even if you call them satanic, it still attaches them to this God. That's what Christianity does. They're not God. They're a ring of criminals who are genetically related. It's nothing more glorious than that. And it's only Christianity that makes you think that there's some association between, oh, there are elder brothers in Christ and all this garbage that the Catholics go on about.
Yeah. You know, I call it an operating system for psychopaths to be real psychopaths. Every component, every aspect of it is to hone the skills and the characteristics of a true psychopath. And they are, like you say, the top league criminal, vile behavior. And the reason, for example, I say is is the rabbi instructed, it's perfectly good and it's almost his duty to rape a three-year-old non-Jewish girl and kill her afterwards because she is guilty of the crime of seducing him. Now, this is just one of many examples of behavior that, and what is the purpose of that behavior? It is to hone the skills to overcome any remaining empathy he might be suffering from. Now, no normal human being can do that. Imagine yourself grabbing a three-year-old girl, raping her, and killing her. Now, that is absolute vile, savage bestiality, and yet that is their code of conduct for them in their holy book, the Talmud, and it is just like practicing to hone their skills, getting overcoming their empathy. Like if you were a carpenter or something, you would take your chisel and you wouldn't work your first little, you know, chisel practicing your chisel on a new piano that's sitting in your living room. You would take a piece of garbage wood that you can toss away after you practice your chisel work. And that's what these Jews do. They take a non-Jewish three-year-old girl and hone their skills at overcoming their empathy. And they'll do it in these basements or someplace. They'll do it in front of the other their friends and so forth. They'll do it on film so that they can, you know, have each other, you know, and that's what we're dealing with. That's the level of criminality that we are dealing with. It is that level of criminality that is now injecting us with this rat poison. So that's how they can do it. Like, we couldn't do that. They do it.
Yeah, and they teach there and their racial nature, and then on top of it, the superstructure, it's built on biology and their inherent hostility and racial traits. But on top of it, like you're saying, these rabbis teach these little rats that, oh, though everybody in the world hates you and is out to get you and destroy you, when the truth is you can barely even persuade a fellow white American with every incentive in the world to take you seriously as an actual thing that might somehow be different from – you can barely even get them to look at Jews with all the miserable things Jews have done to them to destroy their life, which we've been pointing out now for an hour. And so it's the exact opposite of the truth. But in this way, they're completely set up to, first of all, they're inbred, so they're all more closely related than whites would be. Whites are notoriously more outbred. They marry non-relatives, whereas Jews marry relatives, niece, uncle, first cousin. They're much more inbred like that. And then they have this very cohesive racial teaching on top of it. You could call it a religion or not. It's not like other religions. It's more like a dual code, or like I always think of like a biker gang code, code of criminals. Articulated or not, they would still act by it because it advances them in the world. McDonald, being a scientist, evolutionary psychologist, would call it a group evolutionary strategy. This is how we get from point A to point B, and point B being control of the entire world. It's by sticking together and by sheer racial loyalty, we can take over all these other nations and peoples and destroy them. And in the modern century, the way we destroy them is by controlling the money through a central bank and by promoting sexual perversion through the media, right? This is what they do in every single country. They hate it when someone like Russia says, no, we're not going to allow you to produce homosexual propaganda in Russia. We're not going to allow you to do sicko. He even used the word satanic. Putin did satanic surgery on little kids. We're not going to allow that. We will fight that. So while I'm not claiming that Russia is pro-white beyond that limited sense of, let's say, family values, to use a typical Republican cliche, it at least is fighting back on this point to the point of being willing to kill and die over it. And, you know, as we're talking, I'm reviewing the Daily Mail, which always has the most news from around the world. They blew up some kind of oil production plant in the far east of Russia. And then earlier this week, we heard that they're shipping Patriot missiles over to the Ukraine. So we keep upping the ante. By God, we're going to wake up. We're going to wake up one day, and they just said, you know what? Fuck you, assholes. And pardon Monica. And they're going to blow up Washington, D.C. or London or something, because we keep pushing it. We just shouldn't be doing that. But we let the Jews come in and take over our countries, and they're now using us to try to destroy one of the last bastions of sanity. And we saw even in Hungary, where they've overtly rejected race replacement, and they're protecting the family the way Russia is, that their birth rates, their marriage rates are rising, their abortions are falling. So it works. And we know from Urania down in Yan, South Africa, there's buildings going up on every street. We know what Robert E. Lee said. Wherever you see the white man, things are going up around him. So all of the problems we have, they seem terrible. They seem intractable, but they're not. They're superficial. They're externally induced. The minute that external pressure is relieved, we start flourishing again the way we always have. There's nothing inherently wrong with white people. There never was. There couldn't be anything inherently wrong. It's all the garbage coming from the outside. It's making it so horrible and bad that a lot of people are killing themselves. They're putting fake medicine that's real rat poison in their veins. They're eating the wrong food because they've been lied to the whole time. And the whole point of Team White is to tell them a little bit of the reality of what's actually going on, so that one day enough of a kernel of people understands that we can actually fight back and reclaim and reconstitute actual white nations that value themselves for the first time racially. And that's the basis of the new nation. That's the point of this. So thanks. Tidbit. And we're talking to you. We're not talking to each other. We're talking to you people who are listening to this, are our equals and are part of this every bit as much as we are. We are maybe today four people, right? It has to take all of us to do this, to achieve this understanding is what we can spread on the internet. And we have to go out in the world, Alfred is saying, and physically make it ourselves. It's on us, right? What does Sinn Féin say? We alone. Now, they may be a bunch of ratty ratty communists now, but still, we have to do it. No one else is going to do it for us, you see?
That's right. And
you're part of that. You listening are part of this. Understand that.
That's the whole thing, that people, the time for not doing anything and sitting there on your hands and sitting there, that the time is over. Everyone is obliged to stand up and engage this matrix of death, and do not cooperate with these people. I mean, anybody who right now in the Ukraine, it's whites killing whites, and the Jews are rubbing their hands and making a killing and laughing themselves silly. At the same time, the invaders are flooding in on all our borders, and we can't even stand up. Like, this is our genocide right now. We are witnessing our genocide as we speak.
While Zelensky's and Sam Bankman-Fried's parents are buying multi-tens of million-dollar houses with stolen boy money, white men are earnestly going out there, we got to defend Ukraine, and getting murdered because the Russians have – don't even think. If you go out there, you're going to get killed. The Russians have that completely set up. Listen to Douglas McGregor. They put up video clips from him almost every freaking day. Douglas McGregor, right, Scottish name, background. American, went to West Point, went to VMI, Virginia Military Academy. He also studied abroad in Germany. He speaks German, but he knows how a lot of those Germans think. He learned a lot. He obviously has a lot of respect for Germany. What we need to have is Germany break away from the U.S., quit being a lapdog for the USA, and restrike up your natural relation with Russia for trade and oil to heat and get yourself through the winter. And this is what needs to happen. The Europe has got to break away from the Jews running the USA, to say nothing of what we in the USA have to do, of course, which proceeds and goes without saying. But the more you in Europe can break away from the USA, the better for everybody. And these guys keep poking at Putin, keep poking at Putin. He said, right, he waited 8 years. He said, I'm tired of you attacking the people. I want you to live by the Minsk agreement and, you know, essentially neutralize Ukraine. And we don't want a hostile power. If the USA doesn't want a hostile power in Cuba on its doorstep, we sure as hell don't want something touching us by land, being part of NATO and threatening us potentially with nukes. We're not allowing it. You've been attacking the Russian-speaking people in these two little provinces. Okay, after 8 years, we're going in. Well, now we keep – okay, they've fed all of this into the wood chipper. They're all dead. Ukrainians have nothing left. NATO never had much anyway because it was all relying on the USA. The USA has already sent it over $100 billion, and really, they don't give a damn about anything else except paying the interest in our debt and sending money to the Ukraine. They're trying to make it Trump may get back in office. I don't know. They've revealed that, you know, essentially the election was stolen from him through social media pressure and rigging the ballot machines. But, you know, now they're launching drones into attack places inside Russia. I was trying to find what I just said, where they blew up an oil refinery. Refinery was the word I was going for. They've now blown up some oil refinery in the Far East. I'm assuming it's them. Maybe it was an accident. You never know. But they keep provoking someone who has said repeatedly, look, I have hypersonic weapons that you cannot deal with. It's technology more advanced. So we could very well wake up. People think it's a joke, but we could very well wake up one day and they've blown up Washington and there's a whole nuclear war going on. So fun times, Alex. Indeed.
Hey, Alex, it's Monica. Yeah. we're in the chat. And maybe you haven't noticed that, but I need to go soon. And so I just wanted to make a couple of comments before I do just drop off the mic here so that you know that I'm gone. It's kind of funny because they were telling me, just interrupt. Anyway, sorry about that, but it was really important stuff you're saying, so I didn't want to just interrupt. But before I go, and for the listener, this was really, really short notice for me to get on, and I do have some other commitments that I have to go to, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the children and why our eternal, or the eternal well poisoners, our enemy, why they go after the children so hard, why they do this, why they defile, they, you know, butcher them at 8 days of life, you know, with the boys, with the circumcision, which is a huge, huge topic in and of itself, but also why they rape. So, like, why the children? It's because the children are closest to God. And the Jews have always been trying to basically hide us from God, separate us from God. Just, I don't want to use the word kill, that's too strong, but just separate us from God, hide God. And through the children, they do that. This is, I mean, it is as evil as it gets. I don't know if any of you have heard of this Sabbatai Zevi. This is, I'm reading a book right now, and it's called 1666, and the subtitle is Redemption Through Sin. Now, this guy is Sabbatai Zevi. I don't know if I'm saying that right. He was a famous Jew back then. He thought he was the Messiah, and he came out with this thing that we, the Jews, have to do all kinds of sin. The more sin, the better. This will get us to the basically connect with our God. Well, their God, we know who their God is Lucifer, which is just bizarre. And you'd think, oh, well, maybe that was just one kooky guy. But no, he had something like a million followers. And then after he died, about 50 years later, this other guy is born, and he also carried on with this and was even worse, Jacob Frank. I mean, so this... What the Jewish behavior, it didn't just come about from oh, I don't know, just nothing. Like, these guys have been doing this for a long time. I mean, this is from 1666, but we know they've been doing these kinds of things for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Alex, so I don't mean to be jumping around a little too much here, but because I have to go, I wanted to kind of bring it around to what I start talking about in the very beginning. And I just looked this up in my notes here. David, because you're asking about things about Canada. So I'll
because, you know, we're doing the tricontinental. You and I are now on the same continent, so.
Exactly. But Canada is, we're pretty far down the road of, you know, communist Canuckistan that you can get here. And we have been for a long time. We just didn't realize it, right? So David Lametti, he was, I don't know if he still is, but he was Canada's justice minister. And I think he was appointed as the justice minister back in 2019. So I'm not sure if there's been a change of ministry, but he was still the justice minister earlier in this year. I do know that. And what he said in June as justice minister, so if there has been a change, it's been recent. He announced, and this is, you know, on the record, public record, he announced that people do not have an absolute right to own property in Canada. Now, Lametti, I want to tell you a little bit more. He is a Talmudic Jew. And when I first saw him, I thought, geez, he looks a little bit like Michael Chertoff. Not totally, yeah. But he kind of reminded me of Michael Chertoff.
Devilish.
Anyway, so we know, looking. You know, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, Chertoff, if people don't remember him, he looked like a devil incarnate, and he was one of the chief liars and instigators of 9/11, along with other Ring of Neocon Jews. And then the excuser and his cousin wrote a piece debunking the conspiracy theorist in Popular Science, just to give you a little Wikipedia background real quick on the cuff. But he looks like a Jew, is her point. Or no, he looks like a devil. He literally has a face that looks like a devil.
That's right. Anyway,
but much as I hate satanic stuff, anyone would say he looks like a literal devil.
Okay. So what I was talking about at the very beginning of the show, when you asked me what's going on in Canada, and I just brought up that UNDRIP, the UNDRIP, United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which Canada signed on to a few years back, but they're really ramping that up. And it's kind of quietly, you know, going through these steps of that we are being gradually dispossessed. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Dispossessed of our lands. And when they introduce these meetings with, you know, we would like to acknowledge we're on the unceded territory, blah, 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 this becomes evidence for future. This becomes evidence for future for when they do say that, no, you don't own this land. The native people do, or the Indians own it, or whatever. Say, look, it's proof. Like all these official people, they actually said it right here on these meetings. It's in the minutes. It's publicly declared that you don't own the land. So this UNDRIP, you know, this United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, it basically says that any land that they've used or occupied or lived on, it's not ours. I mean, it's so blatant. So people are kind of sitting here kind of pacified because so far they're still on the land that they have. But really,
yeah,
this could turn very quickly. But people need to know this. People need to wake up about this. This is why I'm talking about it. And I don't want to be doom and gloom because I think that they are in panic mode, like what I said earlier. But boy, part of it is that we do need to make sure that people wake up and you know, that's why we're doing this. That is why we're doing this. Anyway, I'll quiet and now. And I see
that's under the larger umbrella of the WEF saying you will own nothing and be happy. And so part of claiming Europeans aren't indigenous, they'll even claim that in Europe. No Europeans are indigenous except like the Samuit up there or the Sami people up in northern Finland.
Right.
They'll even claim that, though. There's no such thing as a native Briton or a native German or native Scan. No. Only they can use all these little manner of things. And it's not like Canada hasn't already given these people vast amounts of territory. It may be cold to northern, but you can bet there's some oil or something valuable under there. But that still goes back to the WEF. But anyway, UNDRIP, you're saying?
Correct. Correct. UNDRIP, you could say, but UNDRIP, you could look it up. It's been signed on to by many countries a number of years ago already. Many countries have signed on. So I don't know if United States has or not. I don't know if South Africa has. Jan wanted to comment, I see, in the chat. I'm going to be quiet here.
I'd like to just mention a few things. All this stuff about, interesting, isn't it, that now in Canada they want to give the natives the land. That's sounding so like South Africa, where they're busy trying to seize the land from white farmers. They've been at this for decades in South Africa, actually. And isn't it interesting the exact parallels that are going on in different countries? There's also been stuff, I think, I'm not sure if there was some stuff in Holland as well. But
Holland... Jan, they just cashiered like 3,000 farmers. They're de-industrial. All of this, as I said, it's under a larger umbrella of you will own nothing. We're going to de-industrialize it, and 500 million slaves and a few million extreme elite seems to be what they're shooting for, with Jews most of those elite. How apparently Holland is one of the main agricultural producers in the world, and they're just saying to 3,000 farmers, oh no, on the complete, and this is something else I wanted to say, the completely bogus Jewish communist pretext of climate change, which is a complete hoax.
Yes.
Guy on Twitter to follow, Peter Clack, has all the data. The name is from a former AC/DC drummer who died, so I think it's a cover name for a group. They have all the data demonstrating climate change being a complete hoax. One guy on Twitter, Peter Clack, you can find him easily, but they said, because of climate change, you're not allowed to have fertilizer, and they're kicking like 3,000 Dutch farmers out, and they've been fighting and demonstrating. The cops been beating them up, and this is reported almost nowhere, at least in the USA. So they are trying to clamp down so whites will have no – again, what happened in – that's how they starved all the people in Ukraine in the Holodomor. Right.
This is worldwide red terror. We have red terror on worldwide red terror.
Exactly. Worldwide red terror where you can't do anything. You can't run a business. You can't farm your land. You can't have any bank account or social media or drive a car without them spying on it. Yeah, this is all part of a larger plan. It's horrible. But anyway, Monica, we'd like to have you back in the new year just as a regular if you'd like to come on with us. Is she there or does she have to go?
Oh, she might be gone.
No, sorry, I'm still there. Here. I just went to the other room and turned up the volume, but
Well, but, we're gonna try to do this about once a month. So if you want to join us, so we'd be.
I would love to join you on a regular basis. I really would. This would be great. Just before I say goodbye, and then I really will hang up.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we're talking about the climate change thing, this is super super big piece of the whole puzzle, big piece of their plan, that they are using the climate change agenda or the narrative as their big tool, And I could talk at great length about it, but maybe we could save that for next time that I will talk about that, like the 1992 Rio de Janeiro, Maurice Strong, who is a Canadian, he's dead now, thank goodness, sorry I say that, but that's, you know, probably not nice to say about anybody, no matter. But whatever.
It's okay.
Yeah, I think so too, actually. May he not rest in peace. You know, may
dead
he not rest
just are fine with me.
But anyway, you know, the climate change thing too, I'd like to talk about that more, because, you know, that lie took me longer to figure out than the Holocaust lie, which is quite remarkable, because the Holocaust lie, I mean, when you figure that out, you become this evil, evil, evil hater, you know, according to the mainstream folks. And whereas with climate change, if you start looking into that and say, whoa, something wrong with this, well, then you just get called a kook. You know, you get kind of
It's just a pretext for them, you know, essentially controlling and centralizing everything and driving everybody dependent on central government.
Of course. What I'm saying is, I just find it kind of fascinating that lie took me longer to figure out than something that's so taboo as the Holo-hoax. It really did, because I was in the Green Party, and the Green Party, that's their main thing. But anyway, that's just I just throw that out there. And now I really am going to hang up, and I'm going to say thanks so much for having me join you and carry on. Well, fantastic discussion, and I would love to join you in future on a regular basis. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you, and I've only cursed one time on this show, and that's Judy.
Monica's responsible for the ethics and morals here, you know.
Trying to raise my standard ever so slightly.
Minister of morals.
As I approach my later 50s, I'm trying to up my game a little bit.
I could be the Third Reich Minister of Morals.
Yeah, you're the Minister of Morals.
I'm sure you're not wrong about that. It's this stuff is so absolutely maddening that sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I know. And you know what? I have been guilty once in a while too. I'm not the perfect angel. I've been guilty of these things myself. But anyway, take care, all of you. And I'm going to hang up now, and I'm out the door in a few minutes here. So, okay, bye.
Well, thanks for joining us on such short notice.
It was fun.
Yeah, okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I just want to add a few more things quickly to what Monica was saying. I actually found a scientist. I found a scientist who was doing videos about climate hoax. He was a scientist who believed in the climate nonsense. And then he spoke to another scientist whose speciality was climate. And that is how he got red-pilled, can you believe? So there's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
but
it's a tiny little trace. I'm telling you guys. I don't know if maybe you don't like Twitter or whatever. That's fine. But if you truly want to see this one dude who has to be a...
Alex, your sound is gone. Your sound is very bad. That's better. That's better. Sorry. Could hardly hear
I keep... Well, when I'm not talking, if I'm sometimes feeling like coffee or... I'm coughing or whatever. I turn it off when other people are talking so I don't make noises over them is what I do. But sometimes I forget it's off and then when I turn it back on. So anyway, I'm not joking. Hit that Peter Clack on Twitter. He has got it completely summed up with all the charts and graphs. But basically it's just it's a trace little thing in the environment. It has no freaking effect. The whole thing is determined basically by the sun and we're actually in a cooling period. That'll eventually lead into another ice age is the truth of it.
And if
it were getting warmer, it'd be better. You know, there was a time, like literally yesterday I saw a headline that showed what Greenland was like, I don't know, a couple million years ago. There's freaking giant elephants and mastodons up there. And why was it called Greenland? Not because it was covered with ice. Didn't used to be.
Yeah, it was already quite warm even a few centuries ago.
We're in a cooling age. It's not blowing up from heat. And if we were, it would be great, but it's not. So unfortunately, it's getting cold.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to finish my couple of points. One of the things I wanted to say to Monica about the fact that all these problems that we've got with all these Jews and all this weird, creepy stuff from Jews. The more I look at our relationship with Jews going back, like you say, before Jesus, is that we are far too tolerant. That is our real problem. Is that we as a race, we are far too tolerant. There are people and there are garbage humans that we actually allow to live amongst us. And all our problems, if you look closely at what Jews are doing, all our problems are from them knowing us too well. They have lived so long amongst us, they have got a bullshit story for getting past all of their stuff, and they see that we fall for it. And our problem is not intolerance, it's too much tolerance.
Jan, just look at these different types or different species is what they'd be called if they were any other animal, and they have comparative differences, and some of ours they can take advantage of. They have comparatively more racial loyalty, more hostility to outsiders than we do, so we're at a natural disadvantage, which we must overcome by using our brains to understand that fact. Yeah. And if we think our race is actually valuable, doing what is logically required to defend it. And that's what Team White is all about.
Absolutely. Another thing I wanted to mention is this business of seizing property and all that kind of stuff. Something I learned from the black communists, watching communists here in Africa, is that you can buy anything, but you don't need any money. What you do is you pledge somebody else's property. You can pay for anything with someone else's property. You just got to remember who you want to steal from. And in many ways, we as whites need to actually learn to do some of these things ourselves in the future, because they're always busy pledging our property and our possessions. And another thing, United Nations, I was reading about Adolf Hitler, when he came to power, he wasn't in power for long, and one of the earliest things he did was he left the League of Nations, the precursor to the United Nations. Adolf Hitler left that, and you know, the United Nations also comes here in South Africa and Southern Africa. It sticks its nose in everywhere. And, you know, ultimately, whites need to reject the UN for the disgusting piece of garbage that it is. You shouldn't, you know, if they want to send UN observers or somebody to your country, you should arrest them when they get off that plane. The United Nations is an evil, disgusting, anti-white, anti-European piece of crap.
So, it has been a Jewish.
Yeah.
the United Nations has been a Jewish front company, if you want to call it that, right from the start, right from the beginning. And just to look at all the resolutions passed at United Nations regarding Israel during its big time of, you know, like when the Palestinians were being slaughtered, Israel completely ignores any of those resolutions, knowing it can ignore it, and. That's it. United Nations is like a crime syndicate. It has to be not only ignored, but it has to be fought. It's an enemy. United Nations is an enemy of our people.
Absolutely. That thing is a hideous, hideous, disgusting thing.
The fact that the United Nations has now says, oh, in the entire planet Earth, you cannot deny the hollow hoax, you know? I mean, come on, how pathetic is that? If the United Nations says everybody has to stick their thumb up their ass, do we have to stick our thumb up our ass? Come on. I mean, that's what the United Nations is. United Nations is nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got a few other comments quickly. High trust, low trust. The one thing I must tell you about our high trust is you have no idea what an awesome thing it is. I watch these non-whites and I watch how they go about stuff, and I must tell you, The place that I've seen it the most is with regard to Zimbabwe. And once trust breaks down, and this is very natural among the blacks, and I can see that Jews also have stirred the pot and taught the blacks all the naughty stuff, that, you know, the beauty about low trust is that as time goes by, eventually they cannot trust each other. Their system breaks down in ways you cannot even begin to imagine due to low trust. And related to low trust is corruption. And I'm watching the blacks in South Africa. There's so much corruption, but corruption is also necessary for them because it's the only way that they manage to hold their act together. And between their corruption and their low trust, they end up with so many problems. And whites never end up with any of these problems because we are a high trust people. And because we are high trust and what we say is what we do, etc., we don't run into even 5% of the problems that these others run into. And our high trust, if we can keep building on our high trust, it is something that will save us completely. High trust, another place where you need extreme high trust is in military stuff. And if you go and you look at our history is built on this kind of stuff. This is normal for us. It's something we're literally born with. So high trust is an awesome thing. Watch how everybody else is going to fall apart with low trust. And about Jews... Jews are the ultimate racists. The only difference is ultimate racists, ultimate supremacists. The only thing is they lie about it and they keep it hidden. That's all. And another point, Europe as a whole, we need Europe as a whole. Agreed that Jewish-run America is absolutely insane. It's taking the world into a huge disaster. We truly need to see European countries starting to stand up and fighting back. And even if they don't do it collectively, even if they just do it one at a time, everything helps. Everything helps. We need to break the hell away from the crazy lunatic American.
Hey, I'm telling you, these suckers are provoking Putin into just firing on him. I hope it doesn't happen, but I would understand if it did. They just won't leave him alone.
The only thing that I'll tell you, Alex, is that from a sort of military standpoint, is that I've looked a lot at the Russians and the Chinese, and the bottom line is that as nutty as these Americans are, at the end of the day, the military stuff that comes out of the Western world, both inside America and even in Europe, even in small European countries, the quality of the military technology that our people are capable of is so excellent that, believe it or not, the Russians actually don't stand a chance. The Russians and Chinese are not in a position to nuke America, believe it or not. That at the end of the day, the technology and the science is just too good. And you can see it with just the normal weapons that they are sending across, whether it's those German Panzer 2000s or any of the European weaponry. It's absolutely excellent. The good news is that even though the place is run by nutcases and lunatics and Jews, at the end of the day, when it comes to actually building stuff, you'll see white European excellence is still there everywhere. It's still there.
Jan, you should listen to Douglas McGregor and what he says about this. The Russians are situated where they're continually basically, we're giving artillery to Ukraine that it uses up way faster than we can produce it, let alone Europe can't produce anything because it's already given it everything that it has. I mean, Germany and Britain have basically no army at all. I don't know about France, but Ukraine is using it up way faster than we can produce and donate it to them. Russia is sitting there and can produce as much as it needs. So I think he would disagree with that. Listen to McGregor. I mean, yeah, for nukes, we could absolutely nuke and destroy Russia, but they can nuke and destroy us too. And remember, they have a much, much – we have a $1 trillion defense budget. They have
I don't know what they have, probably 10, 20% of that. They have a much smaller budget. They have actually trained their people. Our people are in increasingly poorly trained. They now are going to have like 300,000 people. They pulled back to the to a defensible perimeter. And as soon as it freezes over completely, their newly appointed general is going to run through there and destroy what's left in Ukraine and truly try. They weren't trying to defeat it before. Now they're going to try to actually defeat it. They were trying to do enough to get us to the bargaining table. Now Putin has finally realized that, yeah, these people will never, ever, ever negotiate with you. You have to totally destroy them until they're.
Yeah, you know, I think the smartest strategy is how, as far as I can see it, is Putin only has to wait until the West collapses. Without it, they could just sit where they are right now. We are collapsing as we speak, especially the United States. I mean, all of us, all of our, the entire West is collapsing with. And for him to go and he doesn't have to do much at all. He just has to hold his ground, and that's it.
I agree
it.
On that for China, but I mean, I'm just saying what I think he's going to do is go in there and you're just going to destroy it. It's already, their army's already destroyed. They just have contractors from outside at this point. Listen to McGregor though. Every day in 20 minutes you can get the complete picture of it. China, on that for China, yeah, just sit back and freaking look what they're doing. They're building ways around SWIFT, which is the international system, and the petrodollars, what the U.S. gets all of its power from, along with its military. So they're just going around that with the belt, the what do they call it, bridge and road initiative or whatever they have. They're building the back door. They got that massive land mass. America doesn't have any ability to project soldiers on the land. They just have, they've always had air and sea superiority. But they don't have an ability to put hundreds of thousands of troops. We don't have that big of an army. They're increasingly crappy in quality. Is that from what I said earlier, there are all these sex freaks and weirdos and lowered standards to let women in. And these people aren't going to go over there and defeat Russia. There's no way in hell.
And look at the morale. How much morale is there to go and do anything for someone like Biden? I mean, Joe Biden. God,
Biden is almost literally in so many words saying pedophilia is good yesterday. Yeah. Anytime you're supporting this faggotry, you're supporting pedophilia is a good 40-50% of that. And when having surgery on little kids, you're already seeing people who are like, how in the world did they let me do this? I didn't know what I was doing. I was a little kid.
Of course.
There's already people saying that. This is so far. I'll admit, I always think I can figure out what's. I never saw any of this crap coming, like transsexual. The idea that there'd be more than like some infinitesimal fraction of people who wouldn't just laugh at that. Fuck.
You know,
all kinds of people.
I know, and with the insanity that these kids are being faced with, every little child will say one day, oh yeah, I just want to be a little girl. And then, you know, these surgeons will snap it up and say, oh, we can do a sex change operation. That is insane. That is child abuse. That is murder. It's
a lot of that is there's these single moms and this fucking social media, and they want to get on there and, oh, my little kid. And they want to be heroes, and they're so selfish that they're literally willing to use their kid in a zoo experiment to make themselves look good. I mean, it's truly, when you see how you talk about nature and how that was always the thing about Hitler. He played closer to attention to nature than probably anyone who ever existed, at least in politics. And you see the utter, you know, the thin veneer of civilization. My God.
Oh, yeah.
It's thinner than even I thought. I mean, it's like one atom deep that these people are willing to have their kids. And also a point that the thing I was going to recommend when Monica left was dailyrake.ca. It really covers everything in Canada and a lot of other stuff as well. One of the best writers going, I don't know, the guy's name is Timothy Couch or something like that. Coit or some weird last name, but very funny, smart guy based in Canada. Daily Rake, like Garden Rake, dailyrake.ca out of Canada covers a lot of this, but including all this sexual insanity. But that these people are so, they will, I mean, when you take these, the point he made that I never fully realized, when you take these hormone blockers, you're basically sterilized from taking that, as well as fucked up in other ways because it prevents your natural development, but you're done. You're not having kids or anything once you do that crap. I mean, this is and that their own parents or their own single mothers are willing to whore them out for attention, I would not have even expected that. I would think, oh, that's too far. People wouldn't do that. Yeah, they would. They absolutely would. People can be talking to damn near anything.
Well, yeah, they just did talk most of our population into getting the death shot called vaccination. I mean, that's a biological weapon, and all so many people who say, oh, I got vaccinated, I'm okay, they don't understand what this stuff is doing in their body, and they are living on a very on borrowed time. They will – most of these people will actually be dead within a couple of years, and the deaths are skyrocketing now already, but this bioweapon takes time to really do its job. Like, it just like if you breathe in a lung full of asbestos, you can say, oh, I breathed asbestos yesterday, I'm just fine. No, you won't be fine much longer. You will die within a probable period of time of whatever it is, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is. You don't have much time to live.
Alfred, you know, I'm so paranoid about that now. Like, I wear glasses and like, you know, they got those little spray to like lens cleaner.
Yeah.
And I think it's little, like, you know, little silicon, little, it's very sort of slick, oily feeling. It cleans them really nicely. But you can always get a little smell and you're like, what the fuck are you taking into your lungs? Even from such a seemingly innocent thing as glass cleaner, you're like, I must be getting a little bit of little tiny film of micro lubricant going down in my lungs because I can smell the fucking thing. So it's got to be in me.
Yeah. Right. It's true. I mean, we're being subjected to this
stuff. Everything processed is basically poisonous. Yeah, is what I think it is.
But and then this final step of taking little children and injecting them with vaccine, which is a bioweapon for an imaginary COVID, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'll say it's not their first lie. It's their 6 millionth lie. And this one is aimed to kill you. You know, I mean, this is all this other stuff is, you know, is nothing compared to what we will now be seeing with the results of this vaccinating all our people. I mean, this is insane. It is beyond insane. It is a genocide of a magnitude we have not yet seen on this planet. The Holodomor and what happened in the Soviet Union and so forth, that was probably peanuts compared to what we are now facing over the very near coming years.
Yeah, we'll see. It really kind of separated among the people I know, because I know some of my relatives got that shot, and I think to me it's an extension of – it really shows who is inherently unable to doubt authority, or else, like, they see these vaccines as just an extension of just tell me what to believe and I'll pretend to believe it so I can get on with living my life in a more or less non-political way. But it's like, you don't understand. These people – are big fans of depopulation. They say it publicly, overtly, repeatedly. Their behavior backs it. They're trying to get rid of people. So all they need is something that's, you know, yeah, they mix with some placebos or some saline solutions. They have something that doesn't immediately, like you said about asbestos, it doesn't immediately or obviously kill you, but then 6 months down the road, and when you have nothing socially backing you, like any victim of a hush crime where black attacks whites finds, well, no one in the media backs you. Everyone's just like, well, we're all engaged in a group social social charade to pretend that blacks are equal citizens and they're not violent, aggressive, stupid animals who don't belong among us. Well, we're doing that same thing with these stupid shots since, you know, we're just going to pretend that it was something else that killed you. Like, people just normally fall down dead. That's totally a thing that happens. And, you know, they could be in the middle of their life, like 20s or 30s or 40s. Not like, yeah, of course people die of heart attacks when they're 50, 60, whatever, and once in a while when they're younger. But every freaking day, oh, just died. There's another guy on Twitter, just tracks, died suddenly. It's almost funny how many people it happens to. And, you know, so people so casually think that, oh, okay, you know, I want to do this. I don't think they really even – it's not even – with the ones that are political, of course, you see all over the internet and the social media. But for a lot of people, it's just like, okay, it's another stupid – how are you going to fight City Hall? They want you to get this. Okay, I'll get it. They don't put any more thinking into it than that, but they're going to suddenly realize that life is not a spectator sport. And these people are out to kill, and they ain't joking about it. And they really aren't even lying or joking. They are lying about it on one side, but – you barely have to dig an inch and you can find them saying, yeah, there's too many people. We want to get rid of most of them. You know, I mean, the number two to Klaus Schwab, who's a nasty Jew, says that overtly, that most people are useless and need to be gotten rid of. Bill Gates has said that for decades. So you think you're going to take some stuff that these people cooked up to make themselves money and to advance their political agenda, getting rid of people? I mean, you're nuts if you think they're not going to harm you, or they have any, they don't care in the slightest. It's doing exactly what they want. And it's pretty instructive to see how many people just fell for it, or so easily herded into doing something that makes no sense at all. You know,
Alex, as you say, some people think that, you know, you can just ignore certain things in life. Lots and lots of people here are still trying to carry on as if it's business as usual, and they just want to go and make their money and do their job and ignore politics. But eventually you will not be able to.
I think a lot of people just got it because, okay, you got to have it to travel. I want to travel, so I'll get the shot. Because I think for a while there, you couldn't really get on a plane without getting it. I'm one guy in my social media, pieville.net, which you can join. I'm on that and Twitter, and those are my only social media. I get a lot of value out of Twitter. He will not allow you to basically, you start making generalizations about Jews, you're likely to get banned. He'll call them violence, but you can still get a lot of value even if you're just only following people on there. And if you want to say, if you truly want to speak freely, join us on pieville.net, as I've said. Even Gab, which Jan is on, allows more free speech in relation to Jews than Twitter does, although Gab did ban me. But leaving that aside, like I've said, I mentioned to you some of the very best accounts out there. If you really want to get this stuff down to a thumbnail, and Peter Clack for the climate, this other died suddenly, this guy's name, you can find him on there. I forget his name, Olson, I think, O-L-S-S-O-N. He's pretending to be a doctor. He's not, but he follows it super closely. So he's constantly, literally every day, reporting people who died suddenly. And he has obviously an extensive medical background. I think he's just like he's a worker, but not a true MD. But anyway, there's a number of people like this who really have excellent material on there. But yeah, I think a lot of people just rolled their eyes, and it wasn't a big political deal to them. They're like, all right, just got to go along to get along, got to be a team player. It's like, okay. You see what not thinking, doing real thinking and research, you see where that will get you. And, you know, it's gotten a lot of people killed.
Yeah.
And like Alfred says, this is only just getting started. You know, give them a little plausible deniability by this taking 2 or 3 years or even 10 years. Seeing how many people are dead. We don't know how many people are going to be dead 5 years from now because of these stupid shots, which they're still promoting. They backtracked on every single claim they ever advanced. They have backtracked on. And we who stuck to our guns have been proven right on. They're still advocating this stuff. I can literally, if I go out at 2 p.m., I will hear on the radio, oh, even if you don't want it for yourself, get it to protect those around you. In a homey voice on a country radio station. Endless lying. The whole system is geared to produce and repeat the same set of lies. And, you know, now and then they'll add a new one. And, there's not 1 in 100 people in the USA who won't take money to promote lies that help the government. As long as they get a seat at the table, as long as they get theirs, they got no character. They got no integrity. They'll repeat any lie that pays. And that's how the vast majority of people are, unfortunately.
I have a question. Alfred, what do you have to say about that apparent coup d'etat and those people arrested in Germany?
That is a very cheap, pathetic show. It is just people are just laughing about this nonsense. I mean, it is you cannot take it seriously. It is an excuse to make new laws and clamp down. That's all it is. It's just a pathetic, pathetic show. But it is of no importance whatsoever, because it's just a cheap show to make some new laws and instill some fear into the brain dead zombies. It's pathetic. I can't comment any further than that.
Well, yeah, it's
are
like
people
people are laughing at it. They say they show pictures of, oh, they got the getaway vehicles, and they'll show a bunch of wheelchairs, for example, and stuff like that. Like, you know, it's just pathetic. It is so pathetic.
That's excellent. That's excellent, because then it means that there's yet another narrative that makes no sense at all.
It's just like our retard version of J6 in the USA. With the 100th, the substance is my impression of it. But you know what? They did they still have been persecuting old Germans. They had a 97-year-old secretary from one of the camps. Imagine that, and persecuting a 97-year-old secretary, saying she's guilty of thousands of murders.
Alex,
and Horst Mahler too. Do you know Horst Mahler, Alfred?
Yeah, of course I know Horst Mahler. We know him very well. So he's on trial again, and he's doing excellent work. You know,
is he on trial again?
Yeah, he's on trial again. And just like Ozla Havibek, now they want Ozla Havibek, 94 years old, they want her to come back into jail because, like this, you know what is really going to kill these Jews is the despair. If you look at the insane. Vengeance, revenge for anybody who is questioning their lies while they are continuing to advertise for the death shot, the Jew shot, the kill shot. Oh, yeah, get the Jew shot, kill shot to protect your loved ones. I mean, you don't get any more devilish, more satanic, more evil than this kind of lies. You know, it is so – that's why – I'm really getting angry now with people who are still pretending to be too stupid to see through it and understand this. Anybody who still is taking this, sitting down and not standing up and talking loudly about it and resisting is committing treason, because this is now watching your neighborhood daughter get raped by some primitive thug or something like that and pretending you can just watch and stay silent. This is so – It is evil. It is brutal. And yet I can tell you that there are more and more people in the system that expect us to win, to do something. So the real anger, the rage can now be directed at those people pretending to be too stupid to understand. I mean, for me, these people are worse than the Jews themselves. They really are.
Yeah, Alfred, very interesting. So that thing about the wheelchairs, that's fun. That's excellent.
If you have any
humor, German humor in that regard, send it on. That is excellent. It means that the narrative has fallen on deaf ears and people are mocking it. And,
oh, they're mocking it. Yeah, they're mocking it straight away.
If only they can start mocking or doing something about the fact that they're trying to put 100-year-old, almost 100-year-old people in jail for stuff. That shows you how desperate they're desperate, huh. Eh? For them to put 97-year-olds in jail, it's
for
hideous.
Words, yeah. Words, it's hideous. It's beyond, yeah.
Yeah.
This is red terror. This is red terror, and it's going to ramp up. And like this is, if we just look at what this red terror was, if in the Ukraine 90 years ago in the Holodomor, we look at what the red terror was in the Soviet Union 100 years ago. It cost tens of millions of people's lives in the most horrendous ways. The Jews weren't satisfied with just killing them; they would torture them to death, slowly torture them. And if you read about the methods of torture, it is so hideous. It is so evil. They would and that's exactly what we are facing now. This is coming. We have that on us now, upon us now.
Oh, I was reading something on my social media that what they really, you know, the Jew-led USSR hated like Italians more than Germans, they said, and they would just take them and literally dump ice water on them and freeze them to death. In ice water.
They would take whole like these floating platforms kind of thing, stuff, fill them right up with people, send them out in an Arctic river and sink it. They would drown people in the icy waters, thousands at a time. That's the sort of stuff that was going on there. It was the greatest human slaughter of all time, until today, until the COVID corona. Mass injection of the entire white, primarily the white race. This is now a genocide that will surpass even the horrendous toll of that which happened 100 years ago in the Soviet Union. And we in the West only heard little bits and pieces of what was going on there, and it was almost like from an alien planet, and it was very dark, very evil, very sinister.
Well, yeah,
and now we are facing that.
And the fact that they go after these, I mean, Horst Mahler has like half a leg, or at least one of his legs is amputated.
Both of his legs are amputated. He's got no feet. Yeah, no feet.
This guy is a former leftist who he's a big, large intellectual type. My old partner that I started VNN with back in the day, back in 2000, used to translate his materials into German. That was some of the stuff we were doing literally like 22, 23. 22, almost 23 years ago. And I don't know whatever happened to her, if she's still around or not. She was in her 50s at that time, so she'd be much older. But Horst Mahler is still alive. He did a long stint in prison. He comes out. I presume he's still doing some work to the extent he's able, but, you know, not in good health. And he's – the point is that horrible stuff Alfred just described, the mentality, the Jewish mentality that produced that, is alive and well and dominating now, not just the USSR, but basically the entire white world. And it's our duty to fight back and defeat that evil. You're part of it. You listening to that. We're doing this for you. We already know this stuff. You have to understand this and teach it to everyone around you, that when the time comes, we rise up and we create the world our kind needs to flourish in. Understand that.
That's right. We're not doing this for fun. We're not doing this because this is a life and death struggle, and our lives are meaningless and worthless if we do not take up this battle. Because in the end, the Jews' agenda wants us all killed, and even the memory of us disappeared. The memory of us gone. So that's it. Like, we had never even existed if we fail in this thing, because even the memory of us will get erased. So that's it. Like, the only reason we exist is to get this right. That's the only reason.
And remember, the leftists used to say in the 60s, a personal is political. My God, how much in their sense it was, we're going to tear. And that never really came to fruition until right now, when, oh, my pronouns, and every single decision you make is fraught with politics. That was never the white way. You know, you got your private opinions, whatever, that's fine. You're responsible for how you act in the public square. Well, but now the personal is political. That completely applies to what Alfred is saying about these rat poison shots. I mean, there couldn't be a more personal direct. Now think, as I've liked to put it, I try to make everything memorable if I can. You know, if the mass media is controlled by Jews and is full of lies, if they're super concerned about everything that goes in your ears and eyes, do you think they're going to forget what goes in your veins? And it's not just these fake vaccine rat poison, but it's all these other vaccines. And then we got all this rise of autism and autoimmune, stuff that barely existed decades ago. Yeah. So you think about it. Even this rat poison is just one part of a larger thing, and a hell of a lot of those shots are mandatory. I'm not saying they're all worthless, but I'm starting to wonder a little bit. And I think that's the only intellectually rational reaction to what we know to be true about this COVID garbage. So yeah, you got to be real, real careful about what you decide to put in your body and what you decide to put in your mind.
Well, Alex, I finished a video called After Black Revolution Comes White Revolution. I based it on a quote from the late, great George Lincoln Rockwell. And it's out, and it's on my website. Even Alfred was busy watching it a bit. So that contains my thoughts on white revolution, why I think ultimately all whites are just going to have to rebel against the system everywhere. And it talks a bit about the mechanisms and thoughts and various things about that, and why that is the only thing that makes sense. Terrorism isn't going to do it. Assassination's not going to do it. But revolution has worked for us many times, and it can take down anybody.
Yeah, let me say, Jan, on that front, there's a very interesting thing I've been observing. There's a group called Patriot Front. I know almost nothing about them, but they're organized into a series of local networks as best I can determine. And my determination is based on seeing their tweets on Twitter. And like I've always said, we need a white liberation army, essentially, at this point. Voting voting just doesn't do anything, because they're even cheating at voting for people who are already more or less – on their exact same side as Trump, but at least Trump's revealed, you know, the greater shenanigans. But anyway, there's stuff like Patriot Front starting to arise. If anyone out there knows anything about them, I'd be real interested to see more about them, because they're taking a kind of a martial formation that I think is pretty much what we're going to need to have to move this stuff along. That's just something I'm throwing in there along with the rest.
Nice. Yeah, Alex, look, we are a very militant people. We've always been. And
You know what? Like Monica's talking, we're a high trust. We want to live among ourselves, because only then does our high trust pay off. If we live among others, then our high trust becomes an absolute detriment.
Yes.
A burden, and eventually a nightmare, as we are enslaved to pay for the vices and the just other racially behavior. We don't want to pay for blacks to live like blacks, but we are sore oppressed and taxed, long train of usurpations, right, as Jefferson said, to pay for these freaking monkeys that are destroying us. And other people on Twitter every day, they're posting black on white crime, you know, and it's very disheartening and demoralizing to see it. And yeah, we have to live among ourselves. The Germans, while we're very naturally open and gullible and other trusting, exogamous, other marrying, yet when we become organized and we have a leader who, like Hitler, can explain to you in very direct personal terms, can convey the message that's simple enough to reach the lowest member we're trying to reach, we can work together and be organized to create a fighting force the likes of which the world has never seen and cannot stop. And you know that's true. You listening to this, you know that. And that is where we need to head, I believe. And I believe for a long time.
Totally, Alex. Totally. And militarism is quite natural for our people. We are not a bunch of idiots, you know. You must see, like, the blacks and stuff with weapons and things. There are so many things that is so natural for us. And then you see what happens when you try and train other races. Then you start realizing our understanding of even things like physics and stuff. Just the natural stuff that you grow up with if you're a rural kid. Yeah,
we love order, and our societies are disordered. And it's our job on Team White to explain to you where that disorder comes from and then what to do about it. And we have done that. In 1,000 particulars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
We don't want to end up like I think your example for high trust, low trust, okay, that's a little abstract, although not very abstract. But to me, what you've told me about South Africa, think of it in two ways. Low trust, low technical ability. You can't even have power 24/7, which are already seeing in the USA, along with bad water like down in Houston and Flint, as I think I mentioned on an earlier Team White. But it's also like you can't trust your mail to be delivered, because it's very likely to be stolen. Okay, that's like, that means you literally can't trust your mail system in South Africa. That's what a low trust society means. It's not all dramatic. You're going to be cut up and have your skin cut off the bottom of your grandma's feet and stuck in boiling water and your baby beaten to death against the wall. It's not just that. That does happen quite a bit. It's also, you just can't get a goddamn package sent from here to there without some monkey stealing it. Right? Yeah. That's what low trust means.
Well,
functional,
Alex,
practical, day to day. That's the meaning of living in hell world.
What I want to just elaborate on low trust is the beauty about low trust is that it even breaks their own system. Eventually, they can't trust each other, and eventually, they become even more dysfunctional than they are. That's what I'm trying to get at. But just a few other points before we wind up. Alfred, the cruelty to people in Jewish Bolshevik Russia. I was reading a chapter from The Myth of German Villainy, and I'm gonna have to put that on as I'm gonna take that whole chapter out and put it out on the internet. It's one of the most horrific things I've ever read. It's so everything you were saying and more. I don't even want to think about some of the stuff that was in there. And people don't know about the hideous horror of Jews and what they did to white Christians. Just some South African stuff very quickly. Is in South Africa, TV licenses, we're supposed to pay it by law. 82% of all South Africans do not pay TV licenses. So that shows you nobody wants to pay, even though it's illegal. And they, so many people don't want to pay that they can't catch everyone. So that it's beautiful. There's an example of where you go when the whole thing starts breaking down. But I must tell you, the thing that is most on my mind currently is our power outages are so bad, they call it stage one, stage two, stage three. As the number becomes higher, the larger the number, the worse the outage. I think last week was the first time ever that we hit stage seven. And there I was reading where some white guys were, one white guy says he's predicting that we're going to see stage eight by April next year. They are saying that stage five onwards starts massively impacting the economy. So all these lower stages below five, they mainly shut off the power to the population. And by the way, mostly to the whites. The white suburbs get it the most. Eh? I'm not even telling you the full thing. But stage five onwards, they actually have to shut down. From five onwards, they have to start shutting down big factories and also later the mines. They might have to start shutting power and stuff to mines while people are inside the mines. So that is a whole nightmare that's coming. But the thing that I want to tell you that's really big is when I watch this clown show, this clown show that's going on in South Africa, is that I think we're heading for a total electric grid outage. Alex, I can't tell you when this is going to happen, but when I look at this, I'm saying to myself that maybe even after next year, some point, the whole grid is going to go down. And that's never happened. And the best that I can get that I've been able to pick up is that when the grid goes down, everything will disappear for about 2 to 3 weeks. We won't have internet. We won't have phones. We'll have nothing. For 2 to 3 weeks, we'll go silent. Everything will collapse. It's going to take them at least 2 to 3 weeks to start getting the grid back up. I'm busy investigating that because I'm trying to figure out for myself, is there some solution? Is there something that I can do? I'm most concerned about lack of connection to the internet. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be looking into what possibilities are there. Is something like satellite internet even possible? I'm going to have to be digging into that. And the government's been trying to say that all of this is just a bunch of conspiracy theories. But I saw that one of the big banks, First National Bank, and a company and a big hospital company called Mediclinic, both of them have admitted that they are starting, that they are doing planning. These companies, by the way, the people at the top are actually whites. And they are actually looking into their sort of planning, disaster planning for a total grid outage. So when this thing hits, it's going to be something like you've never seen before. Just another final thing. You were talking about that weird freak, Sam Brinton, dog sex, sexual freak, the guy who's stealing the women's handbags. Oh man, that guy grosses me out to such a degree. I can't believe that guy's even in government. These people, I've never seen such weirdo sexual nutcases. So those are my comments. I just want to ask Alfred one final thing. On the internet, they're spying on us. And people are worried about spying, and I said something to Alfred earlier about spying, and I'd just like to hear some of his thoughts. And then,
yeah, you know, the people that are spying on us, they are also learning and reading and getting restless what they are reading. So I just like the my own encounters with the people I am obliged to meet with once a month because of my parole conditions and so forth, I get the feeling that once we understand how this psychological warfare against us has been designed and engineered, we can counter that and actually have them also come clean on that. For example, when they told me that there are certain we should agree on subjects that we will not talk about, I say, no, I talk about anything and everything that has to do with truth. There's no taboo subjects for me. And they say, we don't want you talking with anybody on the extreme right. I say, I never talk to anyone on the extreme right. I only talk to people who are sitting in front of me, like you are now. You see, like you do not fall for their nonsensical terms and talk only in realistic terms, talk about what's happening, and also let them know all the time. And that's what the people are spying on us. These people spying on us will learn from our communications what will happen to them if they remain on the wrong side for too long. They are being paid to work as communist, you know, like as for a communist criminal system. Well, they should also know that the very, very top people, they might get away, but the ones who are doing the dirty work, they won't, and they will pay a price, and they will, you know, people will find out what they're doing for. And when they do find out, they are the ones who will be taking, who will be strung up on the light posts, you know, when this thing turns. And make no mistake about it, this is turning. People, nobody, it goes against our nature to be made an ass of. Once we discover we are being made an ass of, we generally tend to show that the person doing that to us, who will, you know, like we don't put up with that kind of shit. And when they are spying on us to report us, blah, 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 you know, oh, he's denying the Holocaust. I say, come on, you know, do you want to die? Do you want to live? Or, I mean, what is this? I mean, every little kid knows the holo hoax is a fraud. So don't come to me with that kind of crap. And I talk to these people. I say, how can adults, you know, adult people can waste their time with such utter nonsense? Don't you understand what's going on? And that's why I talk to these people. And you know, they're so that's it. Like I've broken all their all the laws that they told me I have to obey. I say, you can't, you cannot tie me down with these thought laws. If you want to put me on trial, do so, but don't have me repeating your nonsense. So that's it. Like when they spy on us, so let them spy. What are they going to do? They're going to learn, and maybe they're going to come over to our side. And in the past, people who knew about this stuff, like that, like Yuri Betsmanov, who was an agent, an officer, very high in the KGB, when he came over and he reported on how things were going in the Soviet Union, he explained all these things to us. And he even said that those people on the very far left, like the communists, when they understand how they've been used and abused for, you know, that those purposes, they will be the most fiercest opponents of that system once they understand what's going to happen, because they're sort of expecting to move into a top position or something. When they realize they're not going to get into that top position, they will be put in front of the wall and shot because they know too much, or they realize soon enough and change sides. That's the only option. And you can see how under Stalin, for example, he killed thousands of those people who thought they were also going to be top dogs like he was. Like it's a system that destroys itself at a certain point, and we're seeing that now. So the time to come over to our side is now. That's why I say they can spy all they want. Good for them. Maybe they'll learn and they'll help us. I mean, that's the reality.
I totally agree with you. I myself have wondered how many of the things that they're spying on, how many times have some of those people maybe woken up and changed quietly and you don't know it. And I also think that, like you say, that it's not everyone in the system, that the system is not as solid as people think. So yeah, things are really crazy, but I'm really loving that wheelchair joke. That is fantastic. Excellent. You see, once people start laughing at it, and I think that's why Jews want to punish people, because at the end of the day, when whites actually figure out everything, then Jews will find that everyone just laughs at them and spits on them. and kicks them in their pants as they walk by because they're just absolute garbage as humans. But yeah.
Yes.
So correct. I've covered all my topics. Thank you very much. So, Alex, if
you, yes, me too. Yeah.
If there's anything else, Alex, and if you want to wind up for us,
it's probably about time to wrap it up. We thank all you for listening to us. This has been a Tricontinental Report with four people covering three continents. We're trying to get a correspondent from Antarctica, but we've had no success yet. So if you know anyone down there, or even a penguin versed in English, we're happy to consider that. And this will be our last report for 2022, I think this year is. And we're going into 2023. And we'll bring you a bunch more reports, probably more regularly, actually, in the new year than this year. But thanks for being with us today. It's been great. I think we got a lot of good information out there. Hope you like it. And guys, any last words?
No, I've said all mine. Thank you very much, Alex and Alfred. Yeah. And I was delighted that your sister could make it. We'll organize this like clockwork.
And we'll reconvene in the new year, yeah.
We wish everybody a happy and prosperous new year coming up and make it better and whiter than ever before. This Team Absolutely. White ascends to new heights. And those are my last comments.
Okay. Excellent.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It was really awesome. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
These are Alex Linder's websites. www.alexlinder.com, pyville.net, that's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com, you'll find a ton of information on there, and then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.